Fan on Demand. A very good day. I'm Nigel Reed.
And I'm Bob Yerushi.
And this is The Soccer Show on Sportsnet World and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. This week, Reds in retreat. What did we learn from Canada's latest loss? We'll chat to Jonathan Osorio about facing the Socceroos and an international learning curve. Also this week, who's in and who's out? World Cup qualifying is all but over, but for some, the struggle continues. Bobby McMahon will join us to break it all down. Plus, DeVayo decides to stay, but after another defeat, will his goals be enough to get Montreal into the playoffs? All that and more, plus your opinion this week, right here on The Soccer Show. It's so good to be home. So, did you miss me?
We missed you.
Did you?
Yeah, we missed you.
Don't lie. Did you miss me?
Yeah, we missed
really?
You.
Really?
Okay, I can't tell a lie. We missed you. Yes, Nigel.
All right.
Are you happy now?
Yeah, I have this kind of uncomfortable craving. I have to be loved. I don't know what it is. You can blame it on the genes. But I have to say thanks to Ben Ennis for minding the shop last week while I was away. Rather too well, in my opinion. He keeps doing it. I don't know whether it's Ben Ennis or Sixero. I mean, whoever sits here when I'm not seems to do an outstanding job. What we actually need is somebody here who's not quite good enough so that when I come back, I look good.
So whose career should we launch the next
time? I don't care. I think we need to destroy a few. Because
Brian wants to go.
Because if you keep getting decent hosts in here, mine's the next one down the toilet, I'll tell you.
Well.
They won't ask me back, you know, and you'll miss me when I'm gone.
Well, you know what? Without you, I don't know what I am. But I did talk a lot last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the emails. I saw the tweets. Bobby was awesome on the show last week when you weren't here.
Yeah, it was great. It was amazing.
Okay.
Free-flowing show.
Here's what's going to happen this week, then. In the interests of having your star continuing to rise, I'm just going to sit back here.
Don't want to hurt your ego.
I might just turn my microphone off, which will please the four men and a dog and you, and I'll let you do the rest of the show. We could do it that way.
Well, I'm not prepared for that this week. But if you give me forewarning, we could probably make that happen.
Oh, no. This is live radio, live TV. You never get any warning. When I was sat in the television gantry at Craven Cottage on Tuesday night, I had some very strange things going on in my ear. There were what they call in the trade technical issues.
By the way, how did you get that gig? That came out of nowhere, didn't it?
Well, do you really want to know this story? Do you think the four men and a dog really want to know what happened?
It just makes me laugh how they didn't have this figured out beforehand. And if you hadn't have given them a little forewarning that you were in England and you happened to pay for your flight and your room and board,
yes.
they got a pretty good deal with Nigel Reed doing the show, doing the commentary.
Well, I would agree with you on that one for sure.
Yeah.
And that's essentially how it happened. I was going on vacation, as I do
otherwise
my annual...
Otherwise, you would have had Crocodile Dundee doing the
play-by-play. Yes, you might well have done. Well, there we go. Yeah, I spoke to the guys, and I said, well, look, I'm there. I'm going to be in London. And Canada's going to be there.
It makes you wonder.
Then against Australia.
In all seriousness, Nigel.
And if you want, I'll do the game for you.
Right.
Makes you wonder? What makes you wonder?
Well, it just makes you wonder how just cavalier the CSA was with regards to... You know, the presentation of their national team. I understand that Canada is not in a very good spell now with regards to results. What's eight games in a row now without scoring a goal?
It is eight games, yes.
But you know what? Positive results come from a number of things that need to happen. You know, and if you want your product to be respected, you should do the right thing. So Canada is playing Australia. You know. We should send a broadcast team over and, the product should be respected.
And in the end, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
By hook or by crook.
Yeah.
And I thoroughly enjoyed myself.
Well, I mean, you're very good at what you do.
Well.
So let's be honest.
I couldn't possibly comment on that.
You're paying for the beer tonight, by the way.
Finally, I'm speechless. After 7.5 years of sitting here with you, I've got nothing to say. But I will tell you this.
Yeah.
The four men and a dog, and I think that's all it was, that actually watched the
live stream and the repeat broadcast, and there weren't that many there, to be fair. But to be fair, 10 miles up the road, there was a little matter of England against Poland at Wembley Stadium. Mm. But it was a friendly, and you've told me many, many times on the show over the years that there is no such thing as a friendly friendly.
No.
And there wasn't.
No, not when you wear your national strip.
And there wasn't. And you know, it was one of those games which didn't get a lot of attention, either here or over there, understandably. But it was a good competitive game of soccer for the first half, particularly. It really was. Canada were asleep when Australia, I think they were still in the dressing room, when Australia scored their opening goal after 30 seconds or thereabouts. And we thought, here we go. And as a broadcaster, you think, right, I just want for the first 10, 15 minutes, just let the teams feel each other out. Let me just get my bearings here as far as positions and numbers. And then something can happen. As a play-by-play guy, you don't want boom in the first 30 seconds. I'll assure you of that. Nobody likes that. But it happens. You have to be ready for it, which Canadian defence clearly weren't. But here's the thing. After that, to their credit, and just forget the final score for a moment, Canada found a little bit of a platform, found their way back into the game, and for the rest of the first half, as somebody who was there, there is an argument to be made that Canada were the better team for the rest of the first half. They created chances. They didn't score. And yes, it's now 8 games and counting since they scored an international goal. And it's 12 games since they won an international game. But there were glimpses throughout the first half. And in the second half, there was a zillion substitutions. So it's a little unfair to judge them on that. But that first 45 minutes, once they got past being bamboozled by a goal in the first 30 seconds, Canada settled down, played some decent soccer. So that's worth saying. The other thing worth saying, he said hogging the mic again. But
that's
the other thing worth saying is that David Edgar, who, as we all know, is a Burnley central defender and has played centre back for his country on many occasions, suddenly pops up as Julian de Guzman's central midfield partner. And I'm thinking that looks a little strange, especially when you've got youngsters Daniil Henry and Adam Strath playing centre-back, and they've been exposed in the first 10 seconds of the game. But to his credit, and if we're looking for silver linings, as we often do on this show, I have to say David Edgar was very impressive as a central midfielder. He did most of the good work that Canada did in that first half. He set up chances for Ricketts, he set up a chance for Jackson, he set up a chance for Dero, his delivery was good, his energy was up, and he thought, you could just, you know, from my broadcast position, it was, I'm here, I'm being given an opportunity for whatever reason in central midfield, I'm going to run with it and see where it goes.
I agree.
And good for him.
Yeah, good for David Edgar, he played very well, and you know, I think it was a daring move on behalf of Benito Floro. I mean, at this stage of Canada's development, I mean, he should be experimenting. And I think with Canada's lack of scoring punch, he needs opportunities to come from, you know, different people. I think David Edgar was given that opportunity, and he did well. As you said, Nigel, after the first 30 seconds and the goal from Australia, Canada was the better team. They played excellent. They played good football, and they created chances. Now, if you don't score on those chances, as is testament to the last 8 games that Canada's played, everything else that you're trying to build really doesn't matter. Those guys at the end of plays, at the end of crosses, at the end of mistakes by the opposing midfield, you've got to score. You've got to be able to take your chances. I mean, to sign Ricketts' chance, where David Edgar gave him a fantastic cross, and you've got to score on that. But he's point blank range, clear header, no obstruction, and he heads it right to the goalkeeper. This is Canada's problem. We don't have anybody who can finish, and the problem is that the rest of the team knows that. I think that's the worst part of it.
And maybe their opponents know it, too.
And maybe the opponents know it for sure, because, Canada's record speaks for itself. But from a half-full glass, David Edgar was full marks, best player in the field. And, you know, Floro is trying to get the lads to play football. The other thing Floro is doing is he's trying to understand who is going to be that starting 11, who are going to be the guys he can count on. Surely he can't count on a defense that lets a goal in after 30 seconds. And, you know, what's that all about? Oh, my goodness, come on. I mean, wake up. I mean, that can't happen. You know, in the second half, of course, both teams change to 4 or 5 players, and so the game really isn't under the same optic anymore. But once again, the goals that Canada gives up, they're all organizational problems and the inability to read situations, to step up and make somebody offside or to challenge on the first ball and not assume that another teammate is going to be there for you. You've got to take, you know, those situations into your own hands. But that's a kind of a long-winded answer. But there were a lot of positives that you can take out of this game. Hopefully, one of these times we see Canada play, we'll be on the positive end of a result.
I'm not sure there's a lot of positives. There are a few positives that you can take out of this game. And certainly, for my money, David Edgar was one. Marcel de Jong at left back got forward, as he tends to do, and delivered some quality into the box. Later in the show, we'll talk to Jonathan Osorio, one of 4 Toronto FC players who were there and got an opportunity. We'll get his reaction from inside the lines. He played the second half. Now, I wasn't the only one from this neck of the woods, by the way, who was at Craven Cottage on Tuesday night. You know who else was there?
No.
Have a wild guess.
David Beckham.
Oh, well, he might have been, but I don't think so. He was probably at Wembley. I'll tell you who was there. Ryan Nelson was there.
Oh, okay.
And his new general manager was there.
Oh, great.
Mm. And there was kind of a buzz going around the ground before kickoff that TFC had one or two representatives there watching. Now, question, were they watching the 4 TFC boys they know all about, or were they there scouting for the next DP?
Well, I think Ryan Nelson would probably be there to watch, first of all, the 4 TFC players that are represented, you know, or who are there on behalf of TFC. I think that would be his first.
Well, see, Chuck Penfold, you know, he's our correspondent, our listener, our one listener in Germany, mm-hmm. who made his way, congratulations to you, by the way, Chuck, was at Craven Cottage, he says, Tuesday, can confirm that Nelson and the new TFC GM was there, 10 rows up from me, hopefully not to sign a DP from Canada against Australia. Having said that, I hear what you say, Chuck, but, I mean, you know, they've set their stall out. They're going for DPs in January. They're going to be looking at strikers. Well, there was one on the field who was a nuisance to the Canadians all night, and that was Josh Kennedy, who scored the first goal after 30 seconds, if they're looking for a striker. I mean, Mark Bresciano, who's played all his career in Italy, is now playing in the Middle East. Great attacking midfielder, but maybe that's not what they're looking for.
Surely there can't be a DP on that pitch that Nelson is interested in. Surely not.
Well, there might
with
be.
All respect
there
to the
might be. There might
Australian
be. And stop
side.
Calling me Shirley.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't resist that.
No.
For fans of Airplane, you couldn't resist it either. We're going to talk to Jonathan Osorio. We are going to talk to Bobby McMahon about a whole plethora of World Cup qualifiers. If you want to get involved, email the show, nigel@fan590.com, or tweet me @Nigel_Reed. It's The Soccer Show on Sportsnet World and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It is The Soccer Show with Reed and Yerushi. Delighted that you made the time to join us, or perhaps you just stumbled across this fiasco. And if you did, we hope you'll stay for the remainder of the show. We'll try and make it as good and as palatable as it can be. We'll try. Try being the operative word. We've been trying for 7+ years, and perfection is a difficult thing to achieve. If you'd like to voice your opinion and engage with us, then Bob would love to hear from you. Here's the email address, nigel@fan590.com. nigel@fan590.com. And you know, Bob doesn't hang around. He doesn't play the diplomatic game. He says it as he sees it. Or if you can squeeze that opinion into 140 characters, @Nigel_Reed, R-E-E-D, @Nigel_Reed. Interestingly today, and we're all kind of scratching our heads about this, to some extent, FIFA has decided that it's going to issue its seedings for next year's World Cup in the wake of that flurry of qualifiers, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. It won't surprise you to know that Brazil are among the seeds, obviously, because they're the hosts.
Well, and then they got one right.
Okay, yep. Fine. Then Spain as the defending champions. Oh, so that's two right.
That's two right. Yeah.
And then Germany, who will probably win it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of three right.
Yes.
And Argentina.
Of course.
That's four right.
Yeah. And then?
And then it gets a little interesting, doesn't it? The likes of Belgium, who may be the golden generation but weren't at the last World Cup. Colombia.
Where did that one come from? They haven't made the World Cup in 16 years now.
Switzerland?
Are you kidding me?
No.
What a joke.
Do I jest on this show? Not very often. And
the last one is a beauty.
Well, and the last one is TBA.
Yeah, they haven't even qualified.
We don't know yet. It could be. Well, it will be. And we're going to talk to Jonathan Osorio in a second, and he knows all about this because, as you know, he played some of his junior soccer down in Uruguay. It will be Uruguay.
Well, they have to beat the mighty Jordan.
Well, they do have to beat the mighty Jordan.
Yeah.
Over two legs in a playoff. And Uruguay, if they get there, will be a seeded team. Now, bearing in mind that Uruguay got to the semifinals in 2010. If they don't get there, unlikely but possible, I suppose, then the last seed will be Holland.
Oh, gee.
By that much.
You know what?
From the Azzurri.
These guys in Zurich, man, they all should take cold showers. What the hell do they do during the day? They come up with these lame brain, you know, criteria. And how in the world do these teams become, you know, the head of the groups of the World Cup? That's absolute asinine. And you know what? The whole media world is calling them a bunch of buffoons, and they are buffoons. It's just a joke.
I won't disagree with you. You probably need a degree in applied mathematics.
Stop justifying the ridiculous.
I was about to say, I won't disagree with you.
Okay, thank you.
In other words, I am agreeing with you.
Okay, good.
It doesn't happen very often on this show. I won't disagree with you that you probably need a degree in applied mathematics to work out the coefficients and the ranking points.
Okay.
Having said that, it's not just this qualifying campaign. It's back over a couple of years, eventually the most distant results drop off the radar. Oh. It's also to do with what you did at the last World Cup and so on and so forth.
Like Colombia did.
And that's how they come up with the seedings.
Yeah.
Well, we don't understand it. If you do, or you've got a better way of doing it, then email the show, nigel@fan590.com. How would you seed the teams for World Cup 2014? And will Uruguay get there? And if they do, they will be one of the seeds. Which links us sort of seamlessly into our first guest, who was playing for Canada the other night against Australia, as we discussed a little earlier on, one of four Toronto FC players taking part in that game and had a terrific season, first season in Major League Soccer. Welcome back to The Soccer Show. It's Jonathan Osorio. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, Nigel. Thanks for having me.
We're good. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, I got back yesterday around tea time. I guess you were on the earlier flight back, were you?
Yeah, we got back around 1 o'clock Toronto time.
Good, yeah. Now, you see, I mean, I don't have to go and play another game on Saturday, but you do. And I've had a good night's sleep and I'm still a bit sluggish. So I'm just interested. I mean, obviously, you're a young player, but that traveling, it does kind of take it out of you. It must take a day or so to recover and then manage yourself so that by the weekend you think, okay, now I'm ready to go again.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it definitely does take a toll. It's a long flight and it's a lot of hours just sitting down. So it takes a toll. But, you know, today we went into practice and they gave the four of us a regeneration session, which was good for recovery. And I mean, I had a good night's sleep the night I came back and I'll be ready to go for Saturday.
So for us mere mortals who don't really know what a regeneration session is all about, just tell our listeners and viewers what that involves. I mean, you lying down in a darkened room or, I mean, how does it work?
No, basically it's just we go out for a little jog. We warm up with the team and everything. And we do a little bit of passing, but then and then they send us right inside to do just a little bit of a core workout in the gym. And then they make us do ice baths and massages.
Ooh. What's the worst? The ice bath doesn't sound good to me.
No, the ice bath is the worst.
That's the worst. And you used to have ice baths in your day?
Never.
No?
Why not? Didn't do any of that stuff.
Por qué no?
I wouldn't even let a masseur touch my body when I was, like, never. Nope. I don't know. I find that stuff a little bit, you know, placebo and justifying a whole bunch of people who want a job in the athletic training rooms. But that's only me.
Yeah. That's how the generations change, you see.
I think soccer players, first of all, are good soccer players because what's between their ears work.
Ah.
And then the body is second. But anyway, Jonathan, let me ask you this because, Nigel and I were talking about the first 45 minutes, which for me was the match. And with all respect to you because you came in the second half. But, when two national sides make four or five, six substitutions, then I think both coaches are looking to get people in. But the first 45 minutes, apart from the first minute when Canada gave up that goal, Nigel's right. You were playing some attractive soccer, and the ball was going through the middle, and David Edgar was seemed to be the guy who propelled opportunities and chances. And what I want to get from you is this something that Benito Floro would be happy about, and is it the team trying to play a new brand of football?
Yeah, it definitely is. Benito's trying to incorporate a beautiful way of playing soccer into our team, where we are passing the ball out of the back and creating chances like that. So, and you can see it in games that we are trying to do that. We're trying to become a passing team and a team with that holds possession. We still have a lot of work to do, obviously, but I'm sure Benito was pleased enough to see that we are trying to incorporate what his structure into our team.
What was his message to you both at halftime and after the game? You can never be happy with a 3-0 defeat, but was he keeping things positive? Did he message in a way that gives everybody the feeling that there were some good positives to take away from the game?
Yeah, of course. Before I went in, he told me to play positive and to get on the ball a lot because when I do that, I make the team better. And so that's what I try to do. To be honest, maybe as a team we didn't play well, but individually I was kind of pleased with my performance. It's all I can do to help this team. And Benito said to us that, we did try to play. Even I thought the second half, we started to play a little bit more after they scored the two goals on us because a little bit of the pressure was off and we had nothing to lose. So we started playing better football, but unfortunately we just couldn't bury any of our chances.
Yeah, so and there were chances, and particularly in the first half, not so much, I don't think, in the second. But, was that always the plan in the camp before the game for David to play that central midfield role? Because of all the players and over the 90 minutes, and there were little sparks here and there. But certainly I thought David Edgar really took his chance, if that was the plan, to play him as a centre mid, because we've watched him for some years now playing as a central defender.
Well, to be honest, going from the beginning of the camp, Benito was planning to play him central defender with Adam Strath, but due to the injury to Atiba Hutchinson, he put David in the middle. So, but I thought he did really, really well.
Yeah, I did too.
And you can tell he enjoys playing in the center midfield role a lot more than in the center back.
So playing alongside him in the second half, as you say, he didn't have so many offensive opportunities, but it must have been it's always going to be a learning curve for a young player. But playing alongside him there in midfield for the second 45 minutes, what I noticed about your performance particularly was, I felt that the Australians knew that you had those quick feet, and every time you got anywhere near or the ball came to you, they jumped on you.
Yeah, I mean, I did feel pressured a lot in that game. To be honest, our whole team, they pressured us the whole game, and they did it really well. But, I mean, for me in particular, I guess in the beginning of the second half, I was getting good touches and kind of you know, creating a little bit of stuff and creating some passing within the team. And then towards the end, every time I got the ball, I was getting fouled a lot. They would hit me. So, I mean, but that's smart football. I think that's something, you know, I can learn from and our team can learn from.
So there we are. Now, have you worked out these FIFA rankings any better than Bob and I have? Because you'll have been taking an interest like everybody did, and we'll see whether Uruguay get there or not. But I guess you've got sort of an eye on whether they get there and whether they get seeded, because you have some connections in that part of the world.
Yeah, of course. I'm keeping track of it, and it's very interesting to see what the seeds were. I'm pretty sure Uruguay will qualify.
We think so too.
Yeah, I mean, they are favorites, and I mean, it's always been like that. Last World Cup, they qualified as the playoff South American team, and they had to play playoff, and they ended up playing finishing fourth. So
correct.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they are seeded. I would think that they deserve it. But yeah, it's a very interesting group of eight being seeded. I'm of Colombian descent, so I'm pretty happy that
The Colombians are seeded as well.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited to see what happens there.
Jonathan, the last game of the season at home is against Montreal. Now, the Impact are on a free fall right now, and you guys could really spoil their season by knocking them off. Has that thought come to your head or to your teammates' head yet?
Well, I don't know about my teammates, but it definitely has come to my head. so I would love to be a spoiler to Montreal. So I'm really hoping that we get the opportunity. If we do, it'll be a game that we definitely won't take lightly.
Great talking to you. Welcome home, and best of luck at the weekend. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you very much.
Jonathan Osorio of Toronto FC. That's a question for next week's show, because that game, which we thought wasn't really going to matter about three or four weeks ago, suddenly looks like it's going to matter a whole lot in a little over a week's time. TFC against Montreal.
Yeah, I mean, the Impact are, they're at sixes and sevens, as they used to say. And, you know, can't seem to find the right side of a result right now. So big games coming up.
More about that when the Soccer Show continues on Sportsnet World and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other, The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca.
Well, we always appreciate your comments on The Soccer Show, as you should know by now. And if you'd like to contribute or contribute, there are a couple of ways in which you can do so. You can tweet the show @Nigel_Reed, @Nigel_Reed. Or as Andy McPhillips has done in BC, you can email me, Nigel@fan590.com. Andy, bless you for this. He says, Do you know you have someone sitting beside you who was an exceptional footballer when he played? Exceptional.
Keep reading.
All right, sorry. All right. Shush then, I'll read. Andy McPhillips in BC. You have someone sitting beside you who was an exceptional footballer when he played in the NASL, but I'm sure you already know that. I watched Robert Yarushi sprint up and down the wing at Varsity Stadium many, many times when he played there for the Toronto Metros Croatia, and he was such a magnificent, skillful fullback. He had great ball control, never panicked, and could read a game better than most players around him. He'd be playing for Arsenal or Spurs if he was playing today.
Amazing.
Well, he might play for Arsenal.
Imagine how much money, Andy, I would have made today.
Huh? Might be playing for Arsenal. Not sure about my team, but there we are. It's great to see him and hear him speak all these years later on in the game. I'm sure he knows more about football or soccer than a truckload of today's radio and television sports commentators, excluding you, Nigel. Nice save, Andy.
Well, what an email. Can I have a copy of that, please?
Would you like me to forward it?
Yeah, please.
Would you like me to get it framed for you?
Yeah.
You can put it in the man cave?
I do have email, Nigel. I do have email.
I know. Andy, thank you for the
email.
Thank
you, Andy.
We like those sort of emails. They always get read on this show. You were good then.
I'm speechless.
Oh, you're speechless now. That's both of us in the space of one show.
If I didn't have Italian blood, I'd be blushing.
Well, since we've both been speechless, we better get somebody who knows all about
speaking. I want to speak to Bobby.
Yeah, I know you do. We love talking to Bobby McMahon.
I do too, yeah.
From Soccer Central because, well, if you weren't watching Canada against Australia, there's a pretty good chance you were watching one of a plethora, a whole gaggle of World Cup qualifiers in CONCACAF and UEFA and, well, just about all over the world. And for some, it was for joy. Some, not sure, relief. I guess for somebody like Mexico, despair for Panama, the whole gamut of emotions.
Amazing.
But that's why we love the game. Bobby, welcome back to the Soccer Show.
Glad to be with you, Nigel. How are you doing, Bob?
Lovely to speak
to you. Hi, Bobby.
Lovely to speak to you. So what were you watching the other night? Everything? You've probably got about 15 screens in your basement.
Well, you've got to resist the temptation sometimes. Flick. Because if you flick too much, you finish up missing the
good stuff. Yeah.
Bobby, Scotland 1-0 Croatia.
Well, I must admit, I avoided that one because, let's face it, we're doing better.
Yeah.
But it was dead a long time ago.
Yeah, of course.
but there was, you know, CONCACAF was amazing.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
That was phenomenal.
Well, 10 miles up the road, and I'll tell you this for nothing. I was doing the Canada-Australia game, and I was in work mode. I had and 10 miles up the road at Wembley, England, of course, were playing Poland. Yeah. I had absolutely no idea until the following morning what the score was, whether England had qualified, whether they'd blown it again like they did in 1973 against Poland, and of course finally found out. So that was my kind of timeline. And then I gradually the news filters in about what happened to Mexico, what happened in Panama, and so on and so forth. I mean, breathtaking stuff, Bobby.
Oh, it was, sometimes I think we get so many World Cup games. You can tune out, I think, because they just keep on coming at you one after another, round after round after round.
Yeah.
And I think you can get a little bit, almost a little bit stale from them. And then something comes along like it did on Tuesday, and it just really grabs you again. And I think it really begins to set the stage already, even though we've got to go through the European playoff rounds and we've got to complete the African playoff rounds and a couple others that we'll have to go through. The reality is it gets us thinking about Brazil 2014, and we know that we're going to get these kind of incredible moments of drama. We just don't see things coming, and they're just going to grab us.
You know, Bobby, Nigel and I always play off the fact that I have this hate on for the U.S. because, of course, when I played, we had a lot more positive results than not, and of course now we can't even come close to them. But I have so much respect for them after that finish, because they could easily have said, guys, it's 2-1. They're here to celebrate. Why should we mess up this thing? And yet there's Graham Souza in the 92nd minute, and then they get the winner a minute later. I mean, just incredible stuff.
Is that, I was thinking of that as well, Bob. Absolutely, same thought went through my mind. Like, what makes a team when they're 2-1 down, nothing to play for at all, and potentially putting out one of your greatest rivals, Mexico, but lift themselves and win the game with two goals in the last minute. And I think maybe it's testament to the kind of quality of the squad that Klinsmann's put together.
Correct.
That he actually has got players playing for their spots now.
I couldn't agree with you more. What do you make of these seeds here, Bob? Because we had a go in the second segment. I mean, are they serious in Zurich? Honestly, can you rationalize, four of these teams being top seeds?
Many years ago, my father told me that football, he told me this in Scotland, soccer to everybody in North America, has to be the greatest game in the world to survive the idiots that run it. I think it never changes.
Oh, gosh.
I don't understand it.
Well, that's three of us.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what possible logic could there be in two of them especially, Switzerland and Colombia. Colombia hasn't qualified in 16 years.
And what, Belgium, the last time they were around was, 2002?
Well, Belgium, because they're playing well, you can almost say, well, okay, I almost
generation.
Get Belgium.
Golden
but
generation.
Honestly, they don't deserve it either, do they?
No. Having said that, though, if you turn this round a little bit for the neutral, it actually, you could make a case that it might actually give us more exciting group stages as well.
Can you imagine?
You know,
they may put France in the third pot.
Yeah, there's going to be some good teams that are going to get driven down lower in the seedings and lower in the rankings. And I think, you know, that generates more of the possibilities for upsets and close contests. So maybe at the end of the day, they might get the outcome that everybody wants, but by the wrong method.
So it's instead of having one group of death, we're going to have five or six, or maybe eight.
Maybe
we could. I think there's a very good chance we're going to be battling over who actually is the group of death.
Well, how about this one, Bobby? How does France go into the B group of the second place playoff? You know, Portugal, Greece, Ukraine, and Croatia. How does France get seated in the second group there? I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't get that one either. It's kind of mystifying. You know, we know that France have had this continual habit of screwing up major championships. Every second one, they seem to have an off championship. But having said that, this is a team that, you know, is pretty competitive in terms of major championships more times than not. You go back through in terms of qualifying, they've been very successful to make it to the major championships. So why they suddenly should finish up the fact they're in the playoffs but not seeded in the playoffs is another bit of a mystery.
I saw a little not exactly off topic, because this is kind of where we came in. I saw a video that was posted earlier today, and it captures, Bobby, all the raw, real-time emotion of just what these games mean when we get down to the wire. I don't know whether you've seen it.
No.
It's a 60-second video of Panama's players.
Oh.
At the end of the game, there's a little melancholy piano track alongside it, and the players going down the tunnel, consoling each other, punching the walls of the tunnel as they go down, players in tears on the pitch in the dugout, and it's really quite distressing to watch, except that somebody's cleverly put alongside it, yeah, but the Panamanians drove around Canada's hotel all night when Canada went to play there, so, you know, a little bit of poetic justice, perhaps.
It is a game that tends to catch you and evens out things as well over a period of time. But Panama, I think, you know, maybe Panama, to some extent, they've made great strides. But I don't think that can be any consolation for a team that gets so close.
None at all.
You know, you try and make the best out of the situation, say, well, it is progress there, you have got closer. But you also wonder as well, with countries like that have taken so, they've grown over a period of time, you get the feeling they've captured lightning in the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe next time around 4 years from now, that generation's maybe is just a little bit too old. And that's the real challenge for them, is to continue to make that top six.
Maybe that was their chance.
Yeah.
Just maybe.
That's what you kind of feel when you've got a small nation. It takes so much to get there. You look at Trinidad, I guess, being a pretty good example in 2006.
Yep.
Jamaica in 98. You know, it's such an effort to get there that to do it again, you know, World Cup after World Cup is incredibly difficult. You need that production line of young talent, and the smaller the country, the more difficult it is to continually to produce.
Bobby,
the quality.
What about Iceland? Population 324,000 people, and
half
you know
the size of Winnipeg, Bob.
Bobby, I played in Reykjavik,
and not quite as cold.
It was like landing on the moon.
Well, if you play there in the summer, you could play at 3 o'clock in the morning without floodlights. I think
it was October, and it was dark at 4 p.m.
Yeah. It is a great, great story, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Now, whether they can make it past this next round, it's going to be awful tough for them. But already, it's you know, up there with one of the great stories we've seen in the last 10, 20 years. And another example again that sometimes when you get the youth development right, you can get that good group of players, and you get organized, you can have a shot.
So there's hope for us all, even Canada, with a population of 33 million.
And Liechtenstein.
No, there's no hope for
Liechtenstein.
Or San Marino, and neither of them should be even in contention for World Cup qualifying. In my opinion, there should be a pre-World Cup qualifying tournament for these minnows. We all know, Bob, and we've got 15 seconds perhaps here, that it doesn't really matter who's seeded or who goes in each group. There are only three teams that can win in Brazil, and that is the hosts, Spain, and Germany.
I beg your
That's
pardon.
My two. That's my two cents.
Oh,
I would throw Argentina into that mix.
Yeah. And we did on the car yes. in the way in. You'd be happy to know.
You know, this is Messi's golden moment, Bobby.
Yeah, yeah. This is his peak.
It'll be exciting to watch him. And you know, in many ways, I hope he does do well because he deserves it. He's a great. He's not only a great player; he's a great person as well.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you though, Nigel. It's we can talk all we want about dark horses, but when it comes down to it, it's the usual suspects.
There are no dark horses at the World Cup.
Yeah.
Well, except for Uruguay last time, and maybe they'll be seeded, and maybe they won't get there. And now the music's playing, so they're going to throw us out and get some professionals in here. Thanks, Bobby. Good talking to you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Bobby.
Bobby McMahon of Soccer Central. We want to say thanks to him and to Jonathan Osorio of Toronto FC and Canada. There's hope wherever you are on this wonderful soccer planet. Thanks also to our professionals, who this week were Brian and Igor and Jennifer. He's Bobby Arushi. I'm Nigel Reed. So you don't have to be. Until next time, thanks for listening.